Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode here on the 5571 podcast. My name is Danny, and this is a podcast all about what's new and what's happening at the Disneyland Resort, and we also sometimes venture outside the Disneyland Resort as well, too. But if that sounds interesting to you, make sure you're subscribed to follow along to all these brand new podcast episodes, because we got a lot of news to talk about, a lot of things happening, of course, at Disneyland all the time. And if you're planning a trip, or if you just want to stay in the know about the Disneyland Resort, this is your place to be. But without further ado, let's go ahead and get started, because we actually have some news to talk about. First up on this week's show, I wanted to talk about Disney's Wish, the movie that just came out on literally the day that I'm recording this podcast. I actually saw it a few days ago, and I really enjoyed the movie. But I wanted to bring it up because there's a lot happening in Disney parks all around the world, and also at Disneyland Resort, specifically for this movie. And it's kind of nice to see that sort of fanfare being brought back to the parks. You know, that marketing machine kind of being put in motion again. I feel like it's been a while since Disney marketing team has really kind of gotten all the cogs and gears turning and really bringing all of the different aspects of the company to all play into marketing one movie. That was always kind of a fun part about being a fan that could access Disney parks easily, you know, someone that can go to Disney World or Disneyland very easily, and also, you know, a big fan of seeing a Disney movie. There was always some sort of synergy where you would go, you know, see the new movie and you really, really enjoyed it. And then you could go into the parks and there'd be all this exclusive merchandise for the movie in the parks. And then there would also potentially be a character meet and greet or some sort of photo op. Also, like, you know, popcorn buckets or other souvenirs that you wouldn't normally find. And then typically some sort of addition to either like a parade with a special float for that character, or they might add a clip it of the movie and the featured song before a nighttime spectacular or at the end of a nighttime spectacular. So it was like really cool. So like always, I feel like when you were seeing the movies, it really helped build up the hype. It helped kind of get interest into people wanting it. Or if you had seen it already, it really helped you kind of like feel more proud about the movie, or like, oh yeah, I really loved that, I want to go see it again or something like that. I feel like more recently, we haven't really seen that with a lot of Disney movies. And in some cases, there's been like no marketing at all for some Disney movies. And you're just like, what? When did this movie come out? And now it's gone from theaters? I didn't even know it was out. And I feel like that Disney marketing machine just really hasn't been working. And I feel like this movie felt like the first time it came back. Now, on the day that I'm recording this, the movie's released in theaters and at Disney parks. They also have released a special popcorn bucket featuring Valentino the goat, and then a sipper featuring the wishing star or star from the movie. Probably going to be really popular. There's also like souvenirs and merchandise I saw at World of Disney for the movie, which has been, you know, pretty standard for all Disney movies coming out lately. But in addition to that, we also have the main character Asha meeting and greeting with guests inside Disneyland. So that's cool. And over at World of Color at Disney California Adventure Park for World of Color Season of Light, they're actually doing a small intro to tease or showcase Disney's Wish as well before the show starts on all the World of Color water and fountains, which I think is cool. It's something that I can remember going as far back as when Brave first came out for Pixar and they did a whole little intro. I remember seeing that intro at World of Color and hearing the music from Brave and seeing the little like teaser that they shared with us on the World of Color fountain. That specific moment actually made me excited to want to go see the movie. And I feel like those moments we haven't really had at Disney parks in a while. So I'm glad to see that Wish brought some of this back, kind of brought that marketing machine back into play with the synergy of Disney parks and experiences and everything else. I feel like that's what Disney should have always done, you know, in this instance for any of the movies. We saw a lot of great synergy in Avengers Campus over the past couple years over at Disney California Adventure Park when different Marvel shows and movies would come out. But beyond that, there wasn't truly as much as what we're seeing now compared to the past. And we're seeing that again, and it's been really cool. It's probably because Disney's Wish movie is such a big deal to the studio since it is during their 100th anniversary celebration. And I believe it's like their 61st animated feature film since Snow White. So it's a big deal. The movie has a lot of homage and Easter eggs that pay back to like all the different animated movies. Some really subtle, I would say like most are really subtle, some overt, but really work well with the movie. So it's not kind of like tacky or anything like that. Overall though, I know I don't really talk about movies on this podcast, but I felt like it was worth mentioning because it kind of struck me. I was like, wow, we haven't seen that in a while. But as far as my opinions on the movie, I really enjoyed the soundtrack. I thought all of the songs are really catchy. There were some really memorable songs, of course, like the main anthem, This Wish. And I feel like a lot of them are going to be, you know, listened to a lot, repeatable. I can see some of the songs being used in nighttime spectaculars for sure. They definitely can lend themselves to that sort of style. The movie itself, was, I would say pretty good. It wasn't like the best Disney movie I've ever seen with the most emotional storyline. It was a little predictable at times, but, all in all, it was a good movie, had great visuals. I know a lot of people like didn't understand or like the kind of watercolor look to it. This was Disney's sort of compromise of doing a mix between computer animation and hand-drawn animation. So they tried to give the computer animation a more flat look. I don't necessarily know that it really gave them the desired outcome. I really feel like this would have done better going either way, whether it would be fully computer animated or fully hand-drawn. Either way, it could have been really fun. But it did still look pretty visually stunning most of the time. And the watercolor, I only really noticed like the watercolor like overlay on it on some scenes that were like usually depicting landscape and stuff like that. So it wasn't like too jarring all the time. It would be sometimes, but not all the time. But all in all, it's a good movie. I think everyone should go see it, especially if you are any sort of Disney animation fan. The funnest part about it all is seeing all the Easter eggs, right? And also just enjoying the music and the movie. And I think another thing too that really a lot of people wanted, I know there was this big movement of people being really upset that Disney hadn't really created what we'd expect as a typical Disney villain. A lot of the villains as of late in some of the more recent movies end up being like misunderstood or not really all that evil. And there never really was that that true battle of good versus evil that you'd see in the past, like with Snow White or with Cinderella, or with like the Little Mermaid and Ursula. It ended up being kind of more so that like the villain would be absorbed into the group, you know, after they were found out to be misunderstood or, you know, all these things. So there was a cry from fans to have, hey, bring back the original Disney villain where you actually like were like, man, I want them to defeat this evil. And it was good versus evil. And that sort of made its return in this movie. The villain was truly a villain. And everyone was happy when the villain was ultimately defeated. Spoiler, right? But I mean, that's kind of how the premise of all these movies are. But it's... I guess in that aspect, a lot of people will be happy about that. It's not, like I said, it's not the best Disney movie I've ever seen. Would I watch it again in theaters? Absolutely. I would definitely watch it again in theaters. And I'll definitely watch it again on streaming. So it just kind of depends. But I think for the holiday week and the upcoming holiday season, if it still continues to be in theaters through Christmas, if you haven't seen it yet, I would definitely recommend go watching it in theaters. And if you're going to Disney California Adventure Park to watch World of Color Season of Light, you'll get to see a cool little teaser for it in front of the show. And then if you're going to Disneyland, you can actually meet Asha at Disneyland Park. So really fun things, lots to do in regards to the movie, and I'm happy to see that synergy back at it again. So continuing on with more Disney Parks news over at the Pixar Place Hotel at the Disneyland Resort, they actually opened the Great Maple. We talked about that on a previous podcast. I had an opportunity to go to the Great Maple restaurant and get some items to go. I actually got a few of the donut items, which they're famous for, to go to try it out and see if it was any different. I had been to a Great Maple location a long time ago, but I wanted to see if there was any difference. Of course, I wanted to check out what the decor looked like of the inside of this Great Maple restaurant. I kind of like how they implemented it into the lobby of the Pixar Place Hotel. I don't know if the way that they've implemented it is the final version, since a lot of the hotel's still under construction and things are being added literally on a daily and weekly basis. But it just has these kind of like glass slider doors that accordion open into the lobby. And the lobby just sort of kind of flows directly into the restaurant. There's no really jarring signage that like indicates you're walking into the Great Maple. It just looks like, from the purpose of the hotel lobby, that you're walking into the hotel restaurant, which is a lot of the case, you know, a lot of times what you see in a restaurant in a hotel lobby. It's not like this jarring, you know, big logoed signage in front of it. So it really works well in that aspect. I don't know if they're going to be installing some giant Great Maple signage. Now, of course, there is the big, huge Great Maple signage on the outside of the building, which is great for, you know, people who are trying to locate the restaurant, who are driving to it. But specifically, the when you're in the hotel, it's not as jarring, and it really just flows with the new design they're going for right into the restaurant. Now, up until the, you know, about the time of the recording of this podcast, the restaurant was open for like a couple weeks or a week and a half or so, with just walk-ups only. They weren't accepting reservations just quite yet, but at the recording of this podcast, you can now make reservations for dates, you know, moving forward at the restaurant. So I did go, like I mentioned. So that's always an option too. Let's say maybe all the reservations are booked up, they're not doing walk-ins. Well, the bar inside the restaurant is first come, first serve. And you can go to the bar and order to go. And they'll actually put everything in boxes and bags for you to take away. So it's a great option, especially if maybe you're staying in the hotel. You want more of kind of the larger portions, or maybe a specific item that only the actual restaurant has, and maybe the quick service version of the restaurant doesn't have in the hotel later on when it opens up. You can grab that French toast logs dish, or maybe that chilaquiles, and bring it right back up to your room. The other really cool thing about the Great Maple restaurant is that they are really known also for their breakfast. They have huge brunch and breakfast options on their menu, including, like I mentioned, the donuts that they're famous for, their maple bacon donuts, and then their featured like seasonal or of the month donut. When we were there over the weekend, it was an apple pie donut for like the fall Thanksgiving season. And I actually thought that one was pretty good. I actually liked that one better, in all honesty, than the maple bacon one. The maple bacon one was definitely good, but I just felt like the other one was kind of more my jam specifically. But the reason why I bring up the breakfast is that this is a restaurant that serves breakfast all day long. No matter when the restaurant is open, they will serve breakfast. So this is really key, because if you're staying on property at the Disneyland Resort, or you're just a guest that's coming to Disneyland and you're not really a morning person, you're not the kind of person that's going to be in the parks at 7:45 at the gates to make sure that you're inside Disneyland at the time of rope drop to get breakfast, or, you know, be there before that, you know, 10 o'clock flip over or 10:30 flip over. So this is really nice, because it gives those people who, you know, have kids, they can't get everyone out of the house, they get to the resort late, but they still wanted to have breakfast, or maybe you just had a late night the night before in the parks and you're not about the fact that you need to wake up early just to get breakfast, this is a really good option. You can go to Great Maple at 1 p.m. and still get breakfast for the day. So that's something that's very unique to this restaurant. And breakfast is already, in my opinion, really hard to get at Disneyland Resort. Not a lot of places have it. A lot of places will have breakfast for a while, and then you really end up liking it, and then all of a sudden, they're not doing breakfast anymore. My biggest example of this would be the Docking Bay 7 location in Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. No longer serving breakfast, just randomly stopped doing it. So this happens sometimes with other restaurants, or they take away restaurants like the Riverbell Terrace, which used to be a quick service, had an amazing breakfast, now it's gone. So those things can happen. I just feel like in general, in my opinion, there's not a lot of variety when it comes to breakfast at Disneyland. So it's nice to have something like this that can bring that extra variety, different things, and of course, options to have breakfast at any time of the day, which is really, really nice. But all in all, if you haven't been to Great Maple yet, I highly recommend going and trying it at least once. Now that you can get a reservation, snag a reservation if you can. It's a really great option. And if you can't get a reservation and you can't do a walk-in, don't forget, you can still go right up to the bar as long as there's bar seats available and they serve the full menu at the bar. So it's always an option for you. And if you are a guest that's not staying on property, it doesn't matter. You're welcome to visit this hotel and also visit this restaurant. You can park your vehicle over at Downtown Disney, but just keep in mind that Downtown Disney does not validate for the Great Maple restaurant. So you're going to have to spend money in a Downtown Disney location in order to get that validation, or you'll just have to pay the fee for whatever the hourly parking is at Downtown Disney without validation. Now, you can park at the hotel. They didn't indicate, or they were not able to share yet, if the hotel was going to offer validation for guests that were dining at Great Maple. There may be a lot of you that already know and are like screaming this into the podcast as you're listening to it. I couldn't find out any information on it personally when I had asked. So you could certainly inquire. I know that all three of the hotels will allow any guest to park there. It's just that you have to be subject to the hourly rate that they're going to be charging at their hotel. I know restaurants like the Napa Rose, they provide complimentary parking at the Grand Californian Hotel for a certain number of hours. Goofy's Kitchen does it over at the Disneyland Hotel. So I'm sure there's probably something that's going to be coming down the pike for this one. But I just didn't know it at the time of this recording. I didn't want to confidently like talk about it until I knew for sure. And I was like talking to people that had done it and experienced it. But for now, I would say your safe bet is to park in Downtown Disney. Or if you already have access to the theme parks and you're going to be parking the theme park parking, just do that and then make your way over to the Paradise Pier Hotel or Pixar Place Hotel in any way that you know how to, of course. Next up is over at Disney California Adventure Park, and this news actually got the whole online social media sphere really kind of up in, you know, a lot of arguments and complaints in regards to this one. It's a pretty big sore loss for some people, but that is the Beast's Library. Now, you might be wondering, what the heck is the Beast's Library? Well, that's over in the Disney Animation Building over in Hollywoodland at Disney California Adventure Park. If you've ever gone in there, it's the big round room that has all the screens up on the ceiling that's constantly looping Disney movies and songs that you're familiar with. They used to update it every once in a while with new Disney movies, but after a while kind of stopped doing that, and it's kind of been stuck on the same one for a long period of time. But there was a bunch of things to do inside that building that have since changed over the years. But one of them was the, like, I think it was, I don't even remember what it was called, like the Sorcerer's Workshop or, but you would head downstairs and there was, the first room where you kind of like learned how to do animation and you would draw. And then the next room was the Beast Library, where you'd sit down in the Beast Library and find out which character you're most like. And then it would lead you into another room where you would lend your voice to a famous clip from a Disney animated movie. And you and your party would try to voice that over like some Disney actors would do for your favorite Disney movies. And, you know, the first thing we lost, the first casualty was that lend your voice to a character room. That closed, I forget which year that was, and remained dormant, and who knows what they're using that space for. Maybe it's like a cast break area or whatnot. We don't know. Or at least I don't know. I'm sure there are some people that know that are maybe even are listening to this podcast. But that was the first casualty. And then now we just got news that the Beast Library in the Disney Animation Building will be closing on December 10th. So in just a couple weeks away from now, that will be closing. And they're going to be closing it to move the Disney Imagination Campus from the Blue Sky Cellar, which is over in Wine Country Trattoria across from Cars Land and Disney California Adventure Park, into this new location here, just inside the animation building. So if you're unfamiliar with what Disney Imagination Campus is, it's kind of their youth programs, their youth education programs. They've had a lot of those in a bunch of different names over the years, not only where they brought kids over from travel to do sort of music programs when they had like the Magic Music Days and then the kids would perform in the park. They're kind of all now encompassed underneath this Imagination Campus. So this is actually a really big revenue generator for Disneyland Resort in general. You know, youth groups and schools and other people just wanting to learn from whatever group they're coming from, to learn from Disney in whatever aspect that may be, or participate in some sort of youth program. That's all under the Disney Imagination Campus bubble. And that's, like I mentioned, has become a huge revenue generator for Disney as of late, especially in times when they're trying to recover as much revenue as possible from the parks being closed, right? So the Blue Sky Cellar over in Disney California Adventure Park, right across from Cars Land, used to be a place where you could go into and experience and see as a guest what latest things Disney was working on for the Disneyland Resort. And this whole idea was birthed a long time ago when Disney California Adventure Park was going through its reimagining from DCA 1.0 to what we have DCA 2.0 today. And during that transformation period, Disney California Adventure was basically all walls. It was a crazy time to be visiting the park then. Almost everything was under construction, and almost everything of DCA 1.0 has completely changed in some way or shape. So we even had a complete redo of the main entrance to Disney California Adventure Park, and a temporary entrance to the park was literally that small gate right outside World of Disney. So there were some crazy times back then for the parks, but it was that basically birthed because all that major construction and the average guest who's just visiting Disneyland maybe once a year or just randomly isn't going to know anything about this construction or why it's happening or even what's going on. So this Blue Sky Cellar was created by WDI, Walt Disney Imagineering, to kind of pull the curtain back, pull the veil back, and let guests see, hey, this is what's going on behind the construction walls. We're working on all this stuff. And the first exhibit inside of the cellar was to highlight the changes happening over in the, at the time, Paradise Pier area, and showcasing the creation of World of Color, which was being built in that whole space. Now, before we got Pixar Pier, they were still changing Paradise Pier from kind of like a kitschy, you know, California boardwalk area with a lot of puns for name locations like Malibu Burritos and Strips, Dips, and Chips, and they had a McDonald's and all this other stuff going on over there. They were transforming it to like from that early 2000s really kitschy vibe to a more Victorian era Paradise Pier that we see today, including the Toy Story Midway Mania attraction. So there was a huge change for Disney California Adventure back then, and that was essentially the first exhibit that was in the Blue Sky Cellar. It was showing guests, hey, this is a model of what this is going to look like. Here's a video of what the World of Color fountains will look like in our little test water lake that we have. So it was kind of a cool early concept, and they were always changing out the things that were in the Blue Sky Cellar. And it wasn't until, you know, fast forward, DCA 2.0 opened, Cars Land opened, so there was really no need to have any of that stuff in there anymore. But we announced, or Disney announced, that they were going to be opening the Pixar Pier. That was a change of the now second time changed Paradise Pier into the Pixar Pier. So a new version of this land opening up soon. So the Blue Sky Cellar once again changed to be showcasing everything about the Pixar Pier. And then when the Pixar Pier opened, they actually left that exhibit inside there for a really long time. And we always wondered, like, hey, what's going in here next? What are they going to announce next? Well, of course, the park shut down. And at that point, you know, once the parks reopened, there wasn't really a lot of construction happening, right, in the parks. Nothing that was too extraordinary to justify redoing the whole Blue Sky Cellar. Like, they were obviously working on Avengers Campus at that time, but it's something that they didn't choose to change the Blue Sky Cellar for. They probably could have, but we had some of the Avengers stuff in other locations, and we saw it at D23 Expo and all that kind of stuff. So the Blue Sky Cellar sort of remained empty. We saw it being used for a couple more times afterward. When we had food and wine festivals, they kind of used it as like an annual pass holder lounge during the food and wine festival, where you could go get your like photo taken, pick up like an exclusive button, things like that. But it largely remained empty and unused, and just used for occasional special events. Then eventually the Imagination Campus took over and took this building over and completely transformed it into one of these learning spaces for all these youth groups. And it continued to be that until this day today. Well, now we have a bigger shift of focus at Disneyland Resort to Disney Vacation Club. And Disney Vacation Club is really ramping up at its presence at Disneyland Resort in a way we haven't seen. Not only do we have a brand new Disney Vacation Club property that has now opened at Disneyland Resort, but we also welcomed a brand new Disney Vacation Club member lounge, which we've never had at Disneyland Resort before, but is something that vacationing Disney guests are very used to over at Walt Disney World. So Disney finally added one of those at Disneyland. So all those guests who are now choosing to vacation at Disneyland at this brand new resort have something that they're familiar with, a place to escape the crowds at Disneyland and go to just for Disney Vacation Club guests. And so the Blue Sky Cellar isn't turning into one of those lounges, but it is turning into a welcome home center. And you could think of a welcome home center as sort of like a sales center. It'll probably be interesting to go look at. They'll show you probably the latest construction on whatever the current Disney Vacation Club property is being built at the moment, or maybe models or sample rooms of the latest opened Disney Vacation Club property. So maybe they have like some iconic photos or like small room setups for like the Disneyland Hotel and their villas, or maybe they showcase like the new villas being built over at the Polynesian Village Resort in Walt Disney World. That'll be the main purpose of the Welcome Home Center. It's, again, not a member lounge for Disney Vacation Club members, but more so a place to find out information about Disney Vacation Club and also probably sign up for a tour to see if they can sign you up to purchase Disney Vacation Club. So it is essentially going to be a sales location, but a more central focus in the park, really bringing the attention of, hey, Disney Vacation Club is now a really big priority at Disneyland Resort. It wasn't for a while, but it is now. Another little bit of holiday news for Disneyland Resort: the hand-pulled candy canes, their schedule was announced actually from the Disney Eats account. They actually posted it on their Instagram. It's kind of an odd place. I didn't expect it to be, but that's where it's located. Actually, my good friend Food at Disneyland actually posted a whole post together, making it really easy to see and understand and gather. So head on over to Food at Disneyland on Instagram, and they have a post there that kind of breaks down the schedule for the 2023 hand-pulled candy cane in order to purchase it. It's going to be, you know, some days in December, obviously, at both Disneyland and Disney California Adventure Park. The chance to purchase one candy cane is going to be via a mobile wait list. And obviously, the quantities are going to be limited. So once you get to the location that has like the QR code for the mobile wait list, it's going to be one of those. It sounds like it's going to be one of those mobile wait lists where like they use your geolocation to like determine that you're actually there. You're not just posting it online so that people can jump in the queue who aren't actually there. And then you'll receive a text message notification after signing up for it that it's your turn to return and purchase the candy cane. So I don't know how long you may have to wait around. So you might want to pick a day where you don't have like super crucial plans at any point where you wouldn't be able to wait for it. But I know the last couple times they've gotten this pretty down to a science. So I would imagine, you know, if you're interested in getting it this year, it will probably run as smoothly as it has in previous years. But like I mentioned, go check out Food at Disneyland on Instagram. They have a post, just a few posts in from their top three posts. I think it's like the next one down, on the hand pulled candy canes, and the schedule there if you wanted to go, on any of the days that they're selling them. And lastly, for this episode, I wanted to bring up Fantasmic. I know we've talked about that before, but for those that maybe missed it in past episodes, obviously Fantasmic is not showing right now due to the incident they had back in April of 2023 this year. But we finally know now when the show is going to be coming back. And Disney announced that the show is going to be returning on Memorial Day weekend of 2024. So more specifically, May 24th, 2024. So the show is coming back. Obviously, when Disney announced that the original hiatus of the show was only going to be for like a week or a couple weeks, you're wondering, okay, how's that going to happen? Obviously, they're not going to have the dragon. So like, what's going to be the alternate version? And then they delayed it again. And then ultimately, of course, as we know, said, hey, we're going to delay it for a while and also just reimagine a different version of the show without the dragon. So that's what we're going to be getting. And we're going to have to see kind of what that alternate version is going to be, how they're going to implement the dragon scene without the like physical dragon that we've known for a while, and see what that looks like. Whether that means, you know, a return of the OG dragon head, like on a stick with the wings behind it, or maybe we see a digital version, you know, just on the water, or maybe some laser effects. We'll have to wait and see, right? And see if there's anything else that Disney does as far as magical extras for the show, with some additions, maybe like what Walt Disney World did, where we saw them implement Moana, we saw them implement Frozen, and other characters that we don't normally have in our versions of Fantasmic. So we'll have to wait and see. This is going to be, it's funny because Fantasmic redebuted when they had that like Spectaculars media event shortly after the parks reopened. And it was a big deal when it reopened because people had been missing it, right? And they hadn't seen it since before the shutdown. And well, then we got it back and it wasn't even open a full year when it experienced this unfortunate incident. So it's going to be another triumphant return for Fantasmic. And hopefully bringing back some of the original flair and sounds that people love with the original show, of course. So that's exciting that we have a date, right? We know when it's coming back. We know when to expect it. It's probably going to be really difficult to get Fantasmic viewing for these shows once it reopens, including Fantasmic dining packages. So, of course, I'll share whatever I know as more information comes out, especially when it comes to those dining packages and the dessert packages and stuff. But for right now, all we know is just the date. So it's nice that we at least know that. Disney did provide also an official statement for the show returning. They said, "Our goal is to always deliver the best possible show for our guests. With that in mind, we are planning the return of Fantasmic with exciting new magic in spring of 2024. As teams continue to work on the show, we have launched nightly entertainment on the Rivers of America this summer And we are working on even more exciting entertainment offerings for our guests later this year. Now, we know the current, I think it's called Jewel of New Orleans, I think. But it's the like frog projection show with like the live jazz music and everything. That was slated to go through the holidays. So that's kind of taking place right now a few times per night on the Rivers of America in between like Believe in Holiday Magic and stuff like that. So that's kind of in place now, but they said they're going to have something later this year. So we'll have to wait and see as we get closer what that's going to be. Maybe they do something centered around the Disney Wish movie, since that seems to be kind of a big focus of theirs at the moment too. You know, I'm excited to see kind of what they have in the interim before we get to May of 2024 next year. But that about wraps up this episode of the 5571 podcast. I really do thank you for taking the time out of your holiday week to enjoy this podcast episode and listen in with me on what's new and what's happening at the Disneyland Resort. I'm excited for a lot of the things that are going to be happening soon. Of course, we have a lot of changes still coming with the pending opening of the Pixar Place Hotel at the end of January, but also some other things happening like our blockout of the annual pass, right? So if you have a magic key, there's going to be a period where all magic keys are blocked and no one can go, except for those random few people that still are holding on to their dream key and haven't let go of that just yet. But there's going to be a period after December 20th where none of us can go into the parks anymore. So at least until well after the new year, by a couple days. So that period, you won't see any updates, at least from me in the park for the YouTube channel from Disneyland anyway, but I do plan on utilizing my Knott's Berry Farm pass to go over there and check out a lot more of what Knott's Merry Farm has to offer, since I still haven't had a chance to check that out yet since it debuted. So that'll be a big focus of mine, going over to Knott's Berry Farm and showcasing that to people that maybe are interested about what's going on over there. And of course, we'll continue to talk and cover about any Disney news that happens during that time period, because we don't have to be going in the parks to always see what's going on that way. And then of course, as the year winds down and the holiday season ends, there'll be a lot more changes happening rapidly over at Tiana's Bayou Adventure. And of course, over in New Orleans Square with Haunted Mansion and that attraction remaining closed as they do all that exterior work to not only the exit, but the queue and everything else. So lots of changes coming soon to Disneyland. You know, a lot of people said that 2023 was like a year of tons of construction walls happening just about everywhere. I even did a couple of videos talking about how it was like just construction walls everywhere you looked. Which is not necessarily a bad thing because they're working on a lot of stuff, making sure things looked good, things are in working condition. So we definitely welcome it, right, from when it's actually happening. And we thought we might see a reprieve for that in 2024, but it looks like it's shaping up to be just as, if not more. So lots of things come in, lots of things that we can continue monitoring and sharing with you here. So make sure that you're subscribed to the podcast, following it on whatever platform you're listening on. Of course, we are a Spotify podcast, but we're available on all platforms and ways you can listen to your podcast. So in addition to that, you can, of course, follow me on YouTube at Just Ask Danny. We're going to continue to have videos there each week as well, too, with another video coming out this week, like I mentioned. And then you can also follow me on Instagram and also Twitter with Just Ask Danny as well. But I once again want to thank you for taking the time out of your week to listen to this podcast episode and joining me during this 30 to 40 minutes of your time. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you did and feel inclined to do so, besides subscribing, I would love it if you send me an email with your comments at danny@justaskdanny.com, or better yet, go ahead and leave a review of the podcast on whatever platform you're listening on, whether that's Apple Podcasts, leaving a review there, or one on Spotify. It really does help the podcast be seen by other people who are maybe interested in the same topic but haven't found the podcast yet. So I would really appreciate that. But thank you again, and we'll see you next week.